Let's go, let's go. Down the middle of the field. He's got Cruz. 35, 30. One of the end zone caught. Broken intercepted. Touchdown, Giants.
Welcome to Big Blue Kickoff Live right here on Giants.com. I am John Schmelk. He is Howard Cross. The Giants with a great 37-27 win over the St. Louis Rams in the gateway to the West. We got back around midnight last night. A very happy flight for the New York Football Giants. And Howard, the Giants continue their winning streak. It's up to three games. And this, to me, was the most impressive of the three wins. Your thoughts?
I think more significant. I think, you know, the Rams are having a decent defense, playing pretty well, even though they don't have a quarterback, so to speak. They do have a lot of guys that are quick, fast, and in that, you know, NFC West, they're one of the teams that have a great defense. I think the last few games, they haven't given up any points, even though they haven't played against
zero
great
touchdowns, only 6 points.
You know, they haven't played against great quarterbacks, but they still didn't give up any good points.
Ryan Lindley, Derek Carr, and Robert Griffin III. So you're right, not great quarterbacks, but the bottom line, they were getting the job done.
Yes.
The Giants march into town in their building now. Mm-hmm. They go for 514 yards of offense. They complete 8 of 17 on third down. They almost have 35 minutes worth of time of possession. And they only give up one sack. Eli Manning goes for 391, 148 quarterback rating, 3 touchdowns, 25-32, probably his best game of the year. Mm-hmm. Overall, the job this offense did from the offensive line to the quarterback to the wide receivers, Howard, to me, was astounding.
It was astounding. Things that, you know, made a big difference people won't think about. Like Reuben Randle made a huge difference in the game because the way the game was set up right off the bat, they started to double Beckham. They had a guy over the top, guy on the outside. They were trying to force him into the middle of the field to try to, you know, force Eli to make a mistake, and they were going to intercept the ball. And all of a sudden on the other side of the field, Reuben Randle starts lighting it up. And when he starts lighting it up, you can't really shade that guy to one side anymore. And it just destroys things. Now you got to back guys up. You got to have two safeties deep to prevent the deep ball, and here comes Mr. Williams running the ball up the middle. Like, a great day for Jerry Reese and his staff with all the rookies contributing in the game.
And Reuben Randle in that first half, 3 catches, 84 yards, including that big 49-yard catch. And although Beckham, he had 5 catches in the first half, Howard, but just for 30 yards. And that's, as you said, the Rams were putting a lot of attention to him. I talked to him in the postgame. He said, I felt like I had a huge spotlight on me the whole game, the way the Rams were focusing on me. And you know what? Once Reuben Randle and Larry Donnell, who had 4 catches for 42 yards in the first half, made those plays and made the Rams pay, guess what? They adjusted their defense in the second half, and then all of a sudden, Odell Beckham's running that deep post with no safety, and you get 80-yard touchdowns.
Well, that's what happens, though. You know, you got to have more than one player making plays. This is not the league of, you know, Megatron anymore, where he's 6'5" and can make plays all day, no matter how many guys you have on him. He has a great accomplishment of a great company of receivers around him, tight ends, guys. A lot of guys made, but even Parker was making catches and stuff. So all that happening to the Rams at once, and it's like, okay, we just can't stop him and double him the whole game.
And I really thought it was an excellent job by the Giants' offensive line. I mentioned earlier the Giants only allowed 1 sack to a team in the Rams that had more sacks than any other team in the NFL over the last 7 games. Now that's 2 straight weeks for the Rams with just 1 sack. They only had 1 sack against the Cardinals last week as well. I thought it was the offensive line was great, Howard, but I also thought the game plan was great. Because even though they got the ball down the field, I felt like Eli Manning almost consistently was going to his first read, and it was open. And he would go back on that third step or that fifth step, and the ball would get out of there.
Yeah, I think Eli did a good job. I think a thing that you have to really consider is how well Williams ran the ball. I think as great as Eli played, Williams, his physicalness running the ball, it inspires. It lights a fire with the rest of the offense. The receivers are fired up. They're getting an extra block downfield for him when that starts to happen. When he comes up the field and he breaks in the open and the safety comes up to hit him, well, correction. The safety comes up and gets run over.
The safety comes up and Andre Williams hits him. I think is what you're trying to say.
Like it just keeps, like, every time the whole defense on the sideline jumps, like, oh, it's one of those crazy moments when you're watching the game where, okay, so if they want to play like that, let's keep playing harder.
Well, you brought up the running game, and Andre Williams finished with 26 rushes, 110 yards, 4.2 average. Mm-hmm. Good numbers, but those numbers in some ways are skewed by that one big 45-yard run that you talked about. So if you take that run out, which, again, is not fair, but just for the sake of argument here, you take that run out, it's 25 carries for 65 yards. You say, all of a sudden, maybe Andre Williams didn't have that good of a day.
Oh, he had a good day. It's physical, physical play. It's not going to be a breakaway run every time, but you hand the ball off 25 times. 25 times of guys having to tackle that kid. That kid's a bowling ball for him, and he is killing guys when he's coming up the field.
And you think that really does keep the defense honest and open things up down the field?
That hurts the defense totally, because when you got to bring a guy up, you don't want him getting to the second level. Once he gets in the second level, nobody wants to tackle him. It's not a thing where, okay, I can just go up and throw my body at him. If you throw your body at him and you're out of position, no leverage, he's going to crack you almost in half when he's running. He's running that hard, and it's not like he's, like, trying to avoid contact. When he sees you in the open field.
No, he was not trying to avoid contact.
I feel bad for you.
Well, you know what? Those safeties come up to run support, and then all of a sudden – they might think twice about coming up the run support a little bit there, too.
They don't come up that strong, believe me.
And one other big thing in this game, Howard, to me, was early on, the Rams had two quick turnovers. And they finished the game minus three, the Giants, and obviously finished plus three in this game.
Yep.
And the Rams don't have the type of offense to recover from giving the other team short fields. And when the Giants, generally speaking this year, Howard, have won the turnover battle, they've won the game, and that was a streak that continued yesterday.
Well, that's not just the Giants. It's around the league.
When you win a turnover
the battle, you get short fields. Short fields give you the opportunity to score quick. The other thing that happens in turnovers, usually if it's in your zone, you prevent the other team from scoring. When they give up the ball as they're driving down for a field goal or a touchdown, that takes points off the board and gives your offense another opportunity. Those are the kind of things that, you know, when you're watching it and you understand, hey, look, this is what we want to happen. And you, every time you do it, there's less chance for that team to score. They're sitting over there like, oh, man, it just takes the air out of their team.
By the way, we are taking your calls at 201-939-4513. And also on Twitter, we'll join the conversation at #GiantsChat. We'll get to your calls in just a bit. A couple more things I want to cover before we get to your phone calls, Howard. Do you think that there was a bit of a target here on Odell Beckham Jr.? Now, we talked about a lot of focus during the game in terms of extra safety, bracket coverage, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But there were two flags specifically on him for 15-yard penalties after the play.
Okay.
One got picked up on that play on the sideline. Mm-hmm. Do you think that these opposing teams are getting sick of this rookie? You know, basically embarrassing them, let's be honest. And they're trying to say, you know, send a message to try to get him to stop.
No, I don't think that. I don't, you know, when you go around the league and all the teams he's played, and he's been playing well for the last 5 weeks or so, I don't think you see teams basically taking shots at him like you saw, unfortunately, this weekend. Basically, teams are double-teaming him, trying to keep him out of the end zone, trying to keep – basically, he's a single-person wrecking crew, as you saw them have a wildcat play during the game. Like, you know, when you have a guy that's that versatile, that's causing you problems from so many angles, you got to pay attention to him. It's like you got to find a way to double him. But when you're moving from slot, backfield, outside right, outside left, doesn't matter what the formation is, four wides, two tight ends, he's in the game. That's disruptive and unnerving to a defensive coordinator because you can't match him up. It's not like you can follow him with Sherman the whole game or you can follow him with Revis the whole game because there's no telling where he's going to be on the field. And if you don't know where he's going to be, that's a different person looking in the face of a guy like, okay, he's over here, he's over here. That's a problem. What you saw yesterday was, unfortunately, you saw dirty play. And it's just it doesn't help. I think people were saying, or we said on the radio broadcast even, how they're classically, this is what they do. They try to get after you, get under your skin, everything. Getting under your skin and being chippy is different than being dirty. And they were being a little dirty during the game. I think that's a sad thing to see, you know, players actually going after other players, trying to take shots at other players. I think that's useless in the game. And I think that, you know, Jeff Fisher, who's on either the rules committee or the competition committee, if he looks at that himself and sees what if he's looking at that and seeing players do that, he should reevaluate. If I would take myself off the committee if that's the way I'm coaching. I want my guys to be that aggressive. If that's the term you want to use, or that free willing, if that's the term I'm going to use, take yourself off the committee. Just take yourself off. The safety launched himself at Beckham.
And he should get fined for that.
Yeah, but he launches himself at Beckham. Now, there's no other reason.
And he ended up taking out his own guy. And thank goodness, by the way.
He got up.
He was able to get up because that looked like a situation where he might have had to get put on a stretcher and get taken off the
field.
But
he was going to get
his helmet flew off.
$15,000 to a $75,000 fine for launching himself at a player.
Yeah.
And it's you can tell he's doing it.
And he took out his teammate.
Yeah, so that's not what the league's about. You know, when parents are watching the game, that's not what you want your kids involved in. That's a bad message all the way around. And like I said again, Coach Fisher, I'm sorry. I mean, good guy. People love him. But can't go out like that. You can't do that.
I remember this too. Defensive coordinator Greg Williams, he had that situation with the Saints as well. So that's something else you put into the equation there. Now, how the Giants reacted to this stuff. I know Tom Coughlin was unhappy with some of the stuff that happened on the sideline. He likes his guys trying to defend their teammate when something like that happens. But you can't go out there and throw punches and get yourself thrown out of the game like DeMonte Moore did, like Preston Parker did.
Oh, well, listen, I understand what Coach Coughlin said, and I agree with Coach Coughlin.
And plus, they always say, Howard, the officials see the reaction to the initial play, not always the initial play.
Okay, That goes back to something totally different. I won't beat on the officials. It's not really useful. But I will say this. When somebody hurts your friend or someone's taking a shot at your friend, if he's on the ground or something and someone's kicking him, you're going to defend him.
Of course.
Okay, so, you know, forget about asking to see behind the curtain and complain about what you see. That's what guys have done forever. You defend your friends, your family, the whole time, your teammates, the entire time. And the guys rallied to protect him. If it had been Eli on the ground, it would have been the same fight. If it had been a defensive player on the ground, it would have been the same fight. And it's not just – and I want fans to understand. It's not just they took a shot at him. They took a shot at him on their sideline. So that – I mean, there's no win there. They're like, okay, I'm gonna go on your sideline. I'm going to take a shot at him. It's just not smart.
No question about it. One other thing on this, Howard, that I want to touch on the other side of the ball, I was a little disappointed in how the Giants defense played in this game. I thought they would have been able to slow down the Rams offense a little bit more. You know, Sean Hill finished with a pretty good game, 24-32, 290 yards, two touchdowns. They ran for 5.3 yards per carry, did the Rams running game. Now, they got those turnovers, which are obviously hugely important. Mm-hmm. They got them off the field on third down. I think the Rams in this game, let me double check the number, I think they're only 1 of 7. On third down in this game. 1 of 6 on third down, excuse me. So they did a good job there. What did you think of the Giants' defensive performance?
I thought they played pretty well early in the game with Moore and Pugh, JPP, getting after him. I thought that was pretty good. He had a sack early. I thought that they couldn't really focus on one guy or the other because, you know, two guys rushing and that let the interior to Jenkins and Hankins get after him even more. Wynn got into the game and started to play more against him.
Made some plays.
I think all those things are positive, even though they were getting at him without the blitz. Mm-hmm. I think that what we're still seeing is the long pass, the mistake in the secondary. Don't know what that is.
Oh, the Stevie Brown Cromartie.
Yeah, you know, but that's not what you that's not what you want to see
when you're
coaching. I mean, I know, you know, Coach Fuel is like wondering and scratching his head. He's like, well, I'm giving them information and somebody's not making a play. And in defense, more than offense, if one guy makes a mistake, it becomes blatantly obvious.
Right.
You know, missed tackles or
especially
or
in the secondary.
Well,
you can get away with that at the line of scrimmage. Someone takes a wrong lane, someone might not notice it. But on TV, when the guy's got no one within 30 yards of him,
guess what?
Everybody sees that.
That's a problem. Then, you know, we got guys that aren't – they're in their zone and they're keeping the ball in front of them. That's the good part, and they're making the play. When that happens, though, the ball keeps moving down the field.
Now, I've seen some tweets, Howard, and I will say this right away, not from Giant fans. But there are some NFL fans out there that I've gone back and forth with that think the way Beckham presents himself on the field, and whether it's the celebrations, his attitude, things like that, is drawing the ire of other teams. Do you have an issue with how he's purporting himself on the field at all? You're laughing. I'm guessing the answer is no.
I tell you what, I'd say this is a problem with baseball. Okay. In baseball, if a guy flips his bat and jogs around the bases, he's disrespecting the pitcher. Now they got to throw a pitch at the next guy.
Right.
And it's the unwritten rule of baseball.
Playing the right way.
Play the game the right way. Mm-hmm. But the problem is that when you're playing the game the right way, you're taking the personality a little bit out of the game.
See, I got to imagine from a player perspective, just stop him.
But what I'm saying is it takes personality out of the game. So when you take the personality out of the game.
Take fun out of the game.
Take fun out of the game. You're taking fun and personality out of the game. You have fewer kids watching.
That's a good point.
So you want guys like Beckham to – it started back with guys like Billy White Shoes Johnson, you know, Mark Gaspino with the sack dance. Like if you want to stop
White
a guy,
Johnson,
you got to stop the guy. Once you stop him, he stops dancing.
Right.
Once you make a play, he doesn't – it's not like you got to go out and – I'm going out and hit him hard just to let him know I'm thinking about it. No, just stop him from catching the ball. If you stop him from catching the ball, there is no dancing. I'm telling you, he will not dance if he drops the ball. He just won't. He won't dance if you cover him. He can't dance during an interception. He can't dance if you sack the quarterback. All those things are up to you. So you're upset because he catches the ball and dances? He's not, believe it or not, he's not a prima donna. He's not this guy who is not a me guy. He's saying all the right things. His teammates love him. Other players around the league love him. So fans that are saying that, it's because either he's scoring on their team. Act like you've been there before. No, don't act like you've been there before. Celebrate your moment. Have fun. The kid's having fun. I'm glad to see he's having fun. If he was on another team doing the same thing, I'd still say, kid's having fun. I like to see that.
There you go. That's the exact answer I was looking for, Howard. 201-939-4513. Let's get to your phone calls or on Twitter at hashtag Giants Chat. Listeners are winning cash every week at DraftKings.com, America's favorite one-week fantasy football site where it's like a new season every time you play. Hurry, get free entry into the $100,000 fantasy football contest this weekend where first place takes home 10 grand. Howard's on it right now. Head to DraftKings right now. DraftKings.com and enter code BLUE to play for free. DraftKings.com. Bigger events, bigger winnings, bigger millionaires. Enter BLUE for free entry now at DraftKings.com. That's DraftKings.com. And now, especially, most regular fantasy football leagues actually end their season in week 16 because they don't want a situation where guys are getting rested in the final week. Teams give guys off. So most people have nothing to do with fantasy football. You can go play a one-week league at DraftKings.com. So make sure you go check it out and have some fun and bring home some cash.
Great commercials, too. I think they're the funny commercials.
You like them?
Yeah, I think they're funny. I like them. That girl can't dance, but outside of that, some funny commercials. Hopefully I never meet her. But
we had about a 15-minute conversation at dinner on Saturday about that.
She's terrible.
Howard gave quite the
that was horrible,
criticism on the dancing terrible. At the end of the spot. Anyway. To the phones at 201-939-4513. Adam's in Columbus, Ohio. Adam, you're up first on Big Blue Hits right here on Giants. Big Blue Kickoff, I'm sorry, on Giants.com. Big Blue Hits is the other show we did.
Yeah, a lot of shows.
Yeah, exactly. What's up, Adam? How are you?
Hey, I'm doing pretty well, guys. How you doing?
Doing well.
Great.
I want to shift directions here a little bit. When are we going to impress upon Larry Donnell that it is not in his or the New York Giants' best interest for him to continue to leave his feet in the open field? It led to the fumble in Jacksonville, return for a touchdown. It looked like he could have severely hurt his neck yesterday. Will they tell him to stop doing that or no?
Well, I think that you have to understand something. When you're a really tall guy and they're hitting you in your knees and that's not been your – he's a basketball player originally.
And he was a quarterback.
Yeah, so if the thing in your life when you're playing the game has no lower body contact, all of a sudden guys are going at your legs, your safety, your self-preservation thing.
Your instinct.
Get off the ground so they don't blow your knee up. So it's just self-preservation. You can tell me every time not to hold the rail if I go to the top of a tall building if I'm looking over the edge, but I'm going to hold the rail because I'm afraid of heights.
I don't know if that's completely parallel, but I see the direction
Trust me, it's parallel. If somebody's hitting you in your knees, you'll get up, you'll get out of the way.
Fair enough. You guys already touched on something I wondered the other day or yesterday. Do you think this will become a pattern of people trying to hit Beckham and try to get in his head or try to kind of take him out of his game? I mean, it didn't seem to work, but I guess if you can't stop him within the confines of the rules, do you try to start taking shots at him?
I think more players around the league have more pride than that. I think that's a unique situation with the Rams and that coaching staff. I don't think that's not a norm for the league. I think guys, Dez Bryant would be a great example. You know, he talks, he screams, he's doing all kinds of stuff. He's posing on the side when he makes a play. You don't see guys taking shots at him.
You know, Adam, the thing about it is, too, you can try to get in a guy's head and throw him off his game without doing that. You know what I mean?
But you usually put a bigger fuel under the guy who's playing also.
Well, that too,
so
yeah.
That's the other thing. But you see a lot of guys who are a little more, you know, they got a little more flavor or character on the field. You don't see guys taking shots at him.
Like for example, last week, you know, Brashad Breeland, the rookie corner for the Redskins, second-year corner, I think, was trying to get in his head. He was talking to him. He was being physical. But he didn't do anything dirty. He wasn't trying to hurt him. He was doing what a quarterback tries to do to get a receiver out of his game, which is fine. And, yes, I think we'll see stuff like that moving forward,
you know,
for sure.
People will start asking me, how your mama doing? They'll start asking silly questions. You know, everything all right? Mama doing good? You know, that'll start happening more so than guys taking shots at me. He appears to be a kid who truly respects the game and he's really having fun. I don't think, like I said, more players will be more along the lines of messing around with him, not taking cheap shots at him. Cheap shots are not where our league's going.
Yeah, I agree with you. I remember looking back to Deion Sanders where he always used to say, you want me to shut up? Shut me up. You
know? Exactly.
It's exactly right. I'm not going to dance if I'm stopped for a 3-yard loss or whatever. But, you know, it seems like they're running out of options, which is a nice thing to see as a Giants fan, but you just wonder what's next.
No, believe me, it's not. If a guy does it, like other guys around the league look at him a certain way, you want stars in the league. You want to play against the best players when you're playing against them. That was just something where a coach like, that guy's not going to beat us. And here's basically, I don't want to say these words out loud, but we'll do whatever it takes to get him. I won't say what I was going to say because we're on the air.
Thank you. I don't know where you're going with that, but thanks.
I'm not going to say the B word because Coach Williams already got in trouble for that.
Gotcha. Well, thanks for taking my call today, guys.
Thanks, Adam. Appreciate it, bud. We have some open lines at 201-939-4513. One other thing I've gotten on Twitter a lot from Giant fans even, this one, James Tipper is one of our very loyal listeners that sent me this tweet, and he has for the last couple of weeks, and I disagree with him, but I'd like to get your take on it. Do you try to protect Beckham by taking him off of punt return?
Why?
That was my response.
I think when people write in, and I've heard this, I've done several, business talks and as well, and I've heard the same question. You got to keep him off the field. I'm like, well, why is he playing?
He's a young guy. He's 22. Let him make plays.
I know, but that has nothing to do with it. Like, you play, like you're a football player. You're not a receiver, or you're not a – the kid does everything. And that's a great thing to see in the game today, a guy that can do a lot of different things and wants to do a lot of different things. If you start to take him out of things to preserve him, that's when he gets hurt. And I truly believe that. I believe that you get hurt when you're trying to protect guys. You don't get hurt when you're going out and giving everything you got. You get hurt when someone's trying to take you out of the game. They're trying to, okay, well, we're going to take you out as late in the game. You don't need to play. Like, well – when you take me out, I lose money. And that's a true statement. I don't get another catch. I don't get more yards. I don't get a lot of things. So let me play as long as I can play. If I'm banged up, then take me off something to give me a rest. But until then, let me play as long as I can play.
201-939-4513. Let's go back to the phone and say what's up to Stas all the way out in Washington on the West Coast. Stas, what's going on, pal?
Hey, what's up, fellas? Good win for us yesterday.
No question.
I just had a couple of quick notes I wanted to say. You know, it bothers me that you talked about it earlier where it's being reported that because of the way he celebrates or whatever, it bothers me that they say that's making him a target. Since when do we target people in football? Like, there's no place for that. And as much as respect I have for Jeff Fisher, I feel the league should hold him somewhat accountable because this isn't the first time. Even back when he had, like, Courtland Finnegan and the Titans, this was their M.O., they would do these dirty, chippy plays. And if that kid, that young kid, all of a sudden gets an ACL torn, you know, because of a dirty play, then they're going to say something about it, but then it's too late. No one gets mad at Tom Brady when he's screaming and fist bumping and pounding his chest in the middle of the field after throwing a touchdown, or he runs up and starts headbutting his guy. They say it's passion. They should not get on this kid for this. If anything, everything that I hear about Odell Beckham is that he keeps his big ego where he needs it, and that's on the field.
Stas, real quick.
He's humble and he's full of humility.
Stas, real quick, and I don't disagree with anything you're saying. Not at all. How do you feel when DeSean Jackson used to do that to Giants when he played for the Eagles?
If it's on, I don't care about anything that happens on the field.
Okay, good. Good for you then. That's fair.
Jackson, was that he beat us all the time. That's what I hated about the challenge.
And you know what? That is a great answer. That's a great answer.
He took a foot back and took us out of the playoffs. That's what I hated about him.
That's a great answer.
Listen, you like guys that play hard. You like guys with passion and everything. I'm not really sure where this he's getting targeted because he's celebrating and playing is coming from. I help me out because I'm hearing fans, you know, obviously say stuff about it. Who said that? Who said
so
he's being targeted?
Reports in the media. So, for example, there was
the guys in the media. Hold on for a second. The guys in the media aren't that smart.
He, in a way, kind of almost defended his guys, saying that they targeted him because Odell Beckham Jr. said that he wanted to break a record. With the, I'm assuming he's going for Michael Irvin's record,
and that they
took offense to that and they targeted him because of something he said. Well, I'm sorry, I don't know who plays sports to not set records or to not win games. I mean, isn't that what they're doing? They're all trying to win the game and be the best.
Hold on for one second. Think about what you just said. You said Coach Fisher said. Again, most of this information or most of this, you know, glare and irony is coming towards the Rams. It's a certain coaching staff. It's a certain group of people. It's not the league wide. So I don't want this to become.
No, absolutely not. I know, but I don't want the league to.
It
bothers me that with their record, this gets no attention. What happened yesterday, it's nowhere. It was like a 3-second clip on NFL Network. It gets no attention, and Jeff Fisher should really be held accountable because this is stuff that has been his MO throughout his coaching career. He's always had this chippy, borderline dirty play, and this is how people end careers early. You got to knock that stuff off. I mean, I just think we remember Courtney Finnegan and Corey Webster. Courtney Finnegan taking shots at Corey Webster David Tyree in a regular season game just like that. You know, so it's like this is what he does. That's what Courtney Finnegan does. Or what about the fight he had with Andre Johnson? Like, if this is happening consistently with the same coach, when does the league step in and say, hey, take control of your guys or we will? That's what I'm saying. Because if I am running, I manage. So for just as a heads up, I manage 24 locations for Verizon Wireless in Eastern Washington. Mm-hmm. And if my managers of those stores are having issues in their locations that have to do with integrity, right? I go in there and I say, hey, manage your people and get it straightened out before I come in and do it for you. Because if I'm coming in and do it for
yes,
you,
Stas,
we have another issue.
Lay down the law, baby.
That's business.
Thanks for the call, Stas.
All right, so to follow up on what Stas is saying, I think that you know, there's a whole thing about how Goodell is doing things, him being the last word. Should he be the guy who delivers penalties and punishment? Should he be the judge and the jury? A lot of that is player-based.
And that is still a TBD thing that they're trying to work out.
But a lot of that's player-based. So when coaches are involved, that's when he has to do his same thing. Now, we saw what happened last time he did it. He shut a whole team down, GM, coaches, everything. I'm not sure we're there, but I just think that, you know, you got to have a conversation. It's got to be an open conversation, you know, behind closed doors. Well, I mean, open with the league, with the players, the coaches, the owners and stuff. They have to address it. You have to not go crazy penalizing guys, but you got to, like, hey, look, guys, we can't have that. That's not what this league's about.
201-939-4513. Let's stick on the phones and go to Nugs in Minneapolis next. What's going on, Nugs?
Hey, what's going on, you guys?
How are you, Nugs?
I kind of want to piggyback on what the last caller just said, but I want to flip the other side of the coin. I'm just happy to know that we have a guy on offense that the other team has to game plan against.
You're not wrong.
That's true.
You know what I mean? I mean, if they feel – I mean, come on now. Anybody who's lining up against ODB going to this last game and in the next season is going to have their chin strap on and ready to, you know what I'm saying, maybe play right up to the whistle. I don't want to say what they're doing is dirty, you know what I'm saying, because I don't know enough about football. I haven't played since high school, so I don't know enough about football to say, okay, that was a dirty play, this, that, and the other. I mean, chippy plays happen every game, and especially when you got a player who just seems like nobody has the answer for him. You know what I mean?
Well, listen, I'll tell you this. When you think about that, take it back 5 years. Take it back 10 years. Put Andre Johnson in that position. Put Calvin Johnson in that position. Put all those guys in that position.
Victor Cruz in that position.
Forget about the Giants players because you're a Giants fan. The guys in the league, the big time guys. Put Randy Moss in that position. Put as many guys in that position. All these players that were like phenomenal, crazy. Great talents. You put all of them in that position.
Heck, how about the guys now? A.J. Green, Julio Jones.
Yeah, but you don't see guys taking shots at them. So and you have to game plan for them because, Julio Jones, roll tie. Julio Jones will take it to you the entire game. So the point is, and these guys all celebrate a little bit after the thing. And Steve Smith, everybody. It's just that, as Giants fans, and we're so close to the league office right here in New York – we all consider we should see more, civility or whatever it is. When you got to be a little more calm when we're playing. Odell Beckham was a great player. He's having a lot of fun. He's excited. You just got a chance to see a coach come out and say he shouldn't celebrate. Well, okay, coach. Well, what do you want me to do? Score touchdowns and hand the ball to the official? Will that make you happy if he scores seven touchdowns?
Did you see what he did on that last touchdown?
He handed the ball to the official.
He picked the ball up after he celebrated and gave it to the official. Come on now.
It doesn't matter what he would have done. They were going. The whole thing was is that Fisher's group said he will not beat us personally. That's what they're saying.
And them, they look past us.
Yeah.
They thought that they were still the better team, and they felt like the trend that the Giants were on, even though it's meaningless because we're not playing meaningful games right now. Jeff Fisher totally expected to beat us. He totally expected. He's a defensive minded coach. He's got that. He's got the Bounty Gate defensive coordinator. I mean, come on now. I mean, he totally expected to have something drawn up to stop ODB, and you just can't stop a guy who, like you guys say, plays way above the X's and the O's.
Yeah, he does.
I mean, he's Sandlot, and he's an X and O's guy, but they just couldn't stop him. And I just think Giants fans need to just be happy that we got somebody that they have to game plan against.
Enjoy the show, man.
Enjoy the show.
And Nugs, you got anything else for us?
That's what's going to happen. That's why ODB's getting paid to be out there and, take those shots. You know what I mean? So just be happy that even though we have nothing to play for, he's still giving us 210%. And on top of that, when the melee broke out, we won that.
We're not promoting that.
No. I mean, come on.
We're not promoting.
Yeah, but Nugs, remember this too. The Giants had two guys ejected, and the Rams only had one, and the Giants lost a lot of field position off of that. So, depending on how you look at it, the Giants are also a big loser in that exchange.
There's no winning in a fight when officials get to make the last call. The guys who are fighting or pushing and shoving or starters. They ejected a backup player. They ejected two starters on our side. There's no winning that. So, again, when you leave it up to someone else, they will make a bad decision for you every time.
I totally agree with you, and I want to just make this point, and then I'll get off. You guys are looking at it from you're a former player.
Mm-hmm.
You're a giant legend. You know what I'm saying?
Legend.
And you guys doing the broadcast. You guys are doing a great job, and you guys are still more of a on a professional level than we are. You guys see more of the intricacies going on behind the scenes, and that's why your opinion is what it is, and that's why fans so much of the time have different opinions from you guys because we don't see that much. Now, I'm going to tell you, I'm a fan. Okay. And from a fan who's watched his team every year, every week this year, and sometimes feel like we just mailed it in and didn't have the heart that it took to get over the top, just to see my team get that riled up and basically slam a supposed tough team made me feel good because I know we don't have nothing to play for, but them guys they haven't quit, and that's all I wanted to say. So
okay.
I know
Thanks,
you know we're not promoting that, but it was good to see that my team didn't get punked out there, and we came out with the dub when everybody picked us to lose. Well, thanks, you guys.
Hey, no thanks for the call, Nugs. Appreciate it.
I will say it's always good to show to see passion. I don't think that the fighting part of it is useless. You're wearing helmets. Speaking to a guy who's a fighter who loved to fight growing up, martial arts, the whole nine yards, getting in rings and stuff. I have no need to fight somebody with a helmet on and break my knuckles or break my hand. I just think that, you know, again, you just had a unique situation with the Rams and Coach Fisher. I hate I keep saying that because I feel like I'm, you know, piling on Coach Fisher and Williams, but just a unique situation. When a guy comes out and say, that guy's not going to beat us, okay, then you should be saying, we're going to stop this guy. You shouldn't say, that guy's not going to beat us. It kind of implies that you're going to go through extreme measures.
Well, I mean, you can say that guy's not going
to
beat us and put a safety over the top, put a linebacker on the inside and bump and run him and take him out of the game that way. That's fine.
All
you can do that.
You know, all they have to do if they want to stop him, put a guy on the inside, force him to the outside and have the safety play over the top.
That's what I just said, exactly.
The only person he can come to is a guy hanging out in the middle, a linebacker or something. But that means you're dedicating three guys to him,
right,
which means the other guys will have to be lights out, and you can't do it.
201-939-4513. Let's stick to the phone and say what's up to Stephanie in West Virginia. Stephanie, good afternoon. How are you?
What's up?
Nice.
I personally have no problem with ODB. And by the way, Giants fans should be thanking me on hands and knees because I sat there before the draft. I said, if we can't get Mike Evans, the next best receiver, if not the best receiver in this year's draft class, is ODB. I even tweeted out, I love me some ODB. As far as passion and fight on the field, and I said, we've seen this before with Steve Smith in Carolina. In fact, the Rams got into it with Steve Smith, Janoris Jenkins. I'm surprised Janoris Jenkins and ODB ain't get into it, you know. This is what the Rams do. I'm not surprised at this. But I'm proud. I got to give props to Preston Parker, too, for having ODBs back. I mean, we need to see this fight in this team. We need to see some backyard brawlers, you know. And maybe they can take this into next year's season. Oh, by the way, you think this game is something, even though the Eagles have been eliminated from the playoffs? It's still an Eagles-Giants game, and expect to see this next week. The NFL loves this stuff, guys, because they can sell it on YouTube. The video gone viral. It's blowing up. And I want to throw something at the Dallas Cowboys. Hell has frozen over to the Cowboys on the NFC East. But I will say this. Whichever I can't. Dan's the Dallas Cowboys. I really hate Roman. The only one I really like is Dan's Bryant. But truth in the fact, whichever team in that playoff knocked the Dallas Cowboys out, I want all the Giants fans in it. I'm going to wear that team's hat and pop me that jersey, post it on Facebook, and Mike make a YouTube video.
That is hilarious.
And by the way, it has to be satisfying too, Stephanie, to have the Eagles come to town in Week 17 and have them also knocked out for the playoffs. So they're not playing for anything next week. That's got to be pretty sweet too.
Yeah, it's going to be a brawl because the Giants bit about that blowout. And, yes, and Dallas got to play the Reds there. I'm happy for RG3 too. I hope he keeps his starting job because I like RG3 despite his what people perceive of him to be.
All right.
Over if the Cowboys win the Super Bowl. That's all I got to add. For the record, I am not Ann from D.C. If I was Ann from D.C., I'd be talking about Tom Coughlin.
I know you're not, Stephanie. Thanks for the call.
Okay, bye-bye.
Appreciate it. Stephanie's
fun.
Funny.
That's a lot of fun.
And by the way, I mean, boy, the Colts with the no-show yesterday in that game, huh?
You know what? I think Andrew Luck's having some problems. I think that they, teams are going to say what they're going to say, and coaches and scouts, and I hear all the pundits on TV talking about it. But here's what's happening with Andrew Luck. He's getting hit a lot.
Yeah, that offensive line. And by the way, he was also missing his top wide receiver yesterday, T.Y. Hilton, which had something to do with it, too.
He could have all the receivers. He could have ODB. He can have Dez Bryant, everybody out there. That dude is getting hit a lot. I mean, he's a big guy, big, strong guy, and I'm telling you, he is taking a beating. I got to believe when he goes back, man, I left college for this. I got an architecture degree. I could go design a building. They blowing me up out here.
He needs to design an offensive line.
I don't know if he can build one that quick. Yeah, he needs emergency. He needs the Army Corps of Engineers to help him. I mean, he's in trouble. I don't know. If I'm drafting them, I mean, the problem with them is that they're winning their division. Right. And they win enough games.
Despite all this.
Now they're not getting a high pick. Oh, no, they're not getting a high pick. They're getting a pick. They're like, when are we going to get a pick? Okay, so all the good guys that we – not that all guys are in the draft aren't good, but, like, the big guys we know are going to come in and make a big effect on the team. They're not there. So we're going to get a guy who's going to play a lot, but we don't know if we're getting a Pro Bowler.
Yeah, the Colts are in a situation now where they have to strengthen their trenches. You know, they have the weapons, they have the quarterback, but their defense struggles from time to time, and their offensive line struggles. They need to figure out the middle of that team.
Man, it's going to be tough. I don't know what to say. I mean, they are taking years off this kid's career. They just are. And it's nothing – I mean, Eli suffered through it a couple of years. You know, the offensive line got guys injured, guys coming back from injury. Another guy gets injured, IR full, and he's still playing quarterback. And he got hurt last year, last game of the season. This year he's coming back, you know, getting the ball out of his hands faster. Even though he's getting hit, he's getting better at and eliminating the hits through releasing the ball quicker. I don't know what Andrew Luck's going to do. He could throw. He could just flip it with his hands or something. I mean, he's getting hit. God bless him.
And we pretty much know now who's in the playoffs in the NFC, except for whoever's going to win the NFC South, the big game this week.
You know, it's really funny. You can't win the South. You can have the fewest losses, I think.
Okay, backpedal.
I was joking.
Backpedal.
Hey, if they let you in, they'll let you in.
Exactly.
You know what?
Well, and we're going to find out who they let in this week. Yep. And it should be a fun game, actually. The Panthers are playing better. Cam Newton's back. The Falcons have put it together a little bit here. Their offensive line's playing a little bit better. Matt Ryan has a little bit more time. Julio Jones played last week, which certainly helped them a whole lot.
Real time.
So I think that should actually be a fun game. And I'm surprised they didn't make that the Sunday night game, because that's the one winning you're in, losing you're out game next week. They put the Bengals and the Steelers there instead, where, you know, those two teams are still in the mix either way.
Well, they're both in the mix, but they're trying to play for the, you know, who's going to win the division.
Correct. Right.
So in this one, it's still they're going to play who's going to win the division, but it's the lowly.
Steelers are in the playoffs no matter what, though.
It's
that's the
lowly
difference.
Division down in this.
Well, yeah, you know what? Honestly, I think that's it. I guess the NFL are probably just going to want to advertise.
Dude,
it's
advertise.
The battle for 6-10.
Yeah, we don't want to see who's going to be 7-9 in this group.
201-939-4513. But it's exciting, though, man.
I think, you know what, having a couple meaningful games at the end of the season is always exciting. I think the way that the league set it up, where you're playing division rivals, that's, you know, you're playing the same teams right there. You've played them once already. Now you're playing them for the championship. If the Giants had won two or three more games, they could be playing the Eagles for
Howard,
a play-in game.
I'll tell you what, when's the last time you saw five teams at 11-4 in the same conference? That's a lot of teams with 11 wins.
You just don't. Well, they're beating up on the bad. Those guys are playing a bad group.
Well, right, look, there's a reason the NFC South is four teams out of, you know, five or six wins, and that's where all those wins are coming from,
to be honest with you. I get to play Tampa, who's struggling. I get to play New Orleans, struggling. I get to play Atlanta, struggling. I get to play, oh, man, Cam Newton. Oh, he's struggling.
Bears.
Okay, so we got they got to play that group of guys.
Right.
That was it. That's why they're all playing well. Now, the Bears in that group, I have no idea.
Redskins struggling as well, another team.
Yeah. So when you get teams that are struggling and haven't got their guys quite together yet, you get some chances.
It is impressive, though. I mean, you could make the argument for any of those teams at 11-4 to come out of the NFC right now. The Seahawks obviously are playing great. Dallas went into Seattle and beat them earlier in the year, so you can make that argument. Whenever you have Aaron Rodgers on your team, you got a shot. The Lions have played great defense. You know, the Cardinals with Lindley, all right, you can maybe push them aside a little bit right now. But those other four, I could make the argument. Maybe the Lions, I don't like them as much as the other three teams, but I think you can make the argument that any of those teams could be the team coming out of the NFC.
It depends on who's got the home field.
And Seattle right now has the inside track. If they win next week, they have home field throughout, which will make it very difficult to beat.
If Seattle has home field throughout, everybody can just like wrap it up. I mean, it's not going to be – Aaron Rodgers is not going in there and beating them.
But if they have to go to Green Bay, that's a different story.
It's a different story, but still, you got to stop Marshawn Lynch.
I agree.
And after seeing that run the other night.
Did you see what he did in the postgame yesterday, by the way, with the –
Thank you very much. Thank you very much for asking.
Thank you. Oh, that's very nice of you. Thanks for asking.
Which I thought was excellent.
He's a jerk, though.
Oh, hold on. Let's stop. Now, I'm in the media now. I used to be on the other side. Slow down. Slow your roll. I know this is your job and this is what you do. You know, this is great. But as a player, if that's not your personality, if that's not who you are, you probably shouldn't be speaking to the media. And I don't think that anyone.
Well, he got fined for it already.
I know, but I don't think people have taken that in consideration. I think they say that, hey, look, you show up. Part of your job is we want to know what you think. No, I don't. Some of you, I don't want to know what you think.
Well,
keep it to yourself.
He has chosen not to make that part of his job.
Well, it's not that it's not part of his job.
No, it is part of his job, but he's chosen not to do
again,
that.
Again, and I understand what the league wants and how we're trying to promote the league, but certain guys, I don't think you want to know what they think.
But isn't that unfair to his teammates that they have to go out there and answer questions for him and about him because
I'm not going to defend the media.
I'm not defending the media. I'm saying, if you're Russell Wilson, if you're Doug Baldwin, if you're a guy on that offensive line, and you got all these media guys asking you questions about this guy because he's acting like an idiot.
Let me ask you something. First off, if he knows you, I wouldn't be calling him an idiot, so he might find you one day.
I'm just going to hide behind Howard Cross. It'll be okay.
But think of it this way. Most of the time, there's no winning when you speak, believe it or not. Remember, I'm telling you this. There's no winning because when you're doing well, everyone loves you. When you're doing bad, everyone wants to jump on you.
There's not
a winning scenario. Just hold on.
Guys who are good to the media. They get sometimes some softer treatment because they're good.
And again, I've spoken to guys who are big time writers in the New York market who have done this, and they've said that, hey, look, he was a jerk, so I wrote bad things about him. Okay. So your perception of what a person is because you just don't like him, so you get the final word. That doesn't make it right.
I'm not saying it's the right thing. I'm just telling you that's how it goes.
But you just said so. My view of it is, if a guy who has aspirations of being something greater or something further down the road, do you think you're going to see Marshawn Lynch on the NFL Network later?
I'll tell you what. I never thought I would see Plexico Burress on TV commentating about games when he was here.
Yeah, but Marshawn Lynch.
No, I don't think you'll ever see him on TV. Then again, remember Eric Mangini with the Jets? Well, people killed him for his three-word answers. What happened when he left football? He's on ESPN breaking stuff down.
Yeah, he's on ESPN breaking stuff down. He probably shouldn't be, but he's still on ESPN breaking stuff down. So my point is, not everybody wants to talk.
Right, I got
you. Not everybody
you.
Wants to talk. And
I got you.
And the league says, no, you have to talk, and that's not really fair to the players because – it's just not right. I mean, even when you win,
it's part of the deal, man. If you make millions of dollars, it's part of the deal.
Huh?
If you're making millions of dollars, it's part of the deal.
I don't think that's smart. I just don't think. I don't think it's smart. I think there are other guys who want
to
talk.
So you think the league's hurting themselves by forcing certain players to
talk? Yeah, when you force a guy like a Marshawn Lynch, who that's not his personality, that's not what he wants to do. He doesn't. The league hurt itself by showing a lot of stuff behind the scenes because people complain about it. Things that we love, things that we embrace, the culture of what we do, show it to people on the outside. They don't understand it. You can't do that. Why are you doing that? So you have to be, the more you ask, the more you show, you got to be willing to accept the criticism that you bring in when you do it. So a guy like Marshawn Lynch doesn't want to talk, leave him alone. leave him alone. Hey, great job, Marshawn. Thank you very much. Okay, that's cool. We're gone. The press, it's your job to get stories, but you got to know that guy's not a story. Guys tell me all the time, you never said anything in the locker room. I'm like, well, they told me not to. And that was true. So I didn't talk.
All right, folks, we got 12 minutes. We got three phone calls. Let's get right to them. Listeners are winning cash every week at DraftKings.com, America's favorite one-week fantasy football site, where it's like a new season every time you play. So you can do it one more time in the regular season this week. Hurry. You can get free entry right now into the $100,000 fantasy football contest for Week 17 this weekend. First place takes home 10 grand. Head to DraftKings.com now and enter code BLUE to play for free. DraftKings.com, bigger events, bigger winnings, bigger millionaires. Enter BLUE for free entry right now at DraftKings.com. That's DraftKings.com. I think there's some playoff stuff there, too.
I got a 20 if you get a dance like that girl in the thing. I'm just joking. But go ahead. Go ahead.
Maybe they shouldn't let you talk. I think that was a wise move, actually.
That's funny.
201-939-4513. Let's go to Will in Florida next. Will, you're up. What's up, pal?
Hi. First of all, John, good job with reporting the Around the League scores yesterday.
I appreciate it, Will. Thank you.
Okay. Yeah, did a good job. I think the Giants next year, we're at least going to be 9-7. You know why? Because first of all, Odell Beckham Jr., nobody can deny him. Second of all, Victor Cruz, I hope he gets back from his injury. John Beeson, he's really helpful on the defensive side. Peyton Hillis, really helpful on third down, especially with screens. And, plus, the end of this year, the Rams, I believe that they beat the two Super Bowl champions.
They beat the Broncos and they beat the Seahawks and they beat the 49ers. So that's three out of the last four teams standing last year. That's pretty good.
Yeah, and we're able to go to the Edward Jones Dome and beat them. That's pretty impressive. The taunting call on Odell Beckham Jr., I don't think he saw that guy walking with his feet toward him. So
I think he saw him.
He looked right at him. But that's okay.
Seems to me like when he was running toward him, like he stopped, and then I don't think Odell saw him. Anyway, John, about the radio broadcast, yeah, I actually did something cool. I have NFL Red Zone on my iPad, so I turned down the volume for their commentary, and I put the Giants radio broadcast. And
well,
you guys made it all exciting.
Well, that's great. You know, the weird thing now with the way technology is, and you can get the radio broadcast in the internet, you can get it on the radio, but syncing everything up now is a problem because everything has a different delay. The satellite dish has a different delay than the cable, which has a different delay than the internet. So actually timing the radio broadcast up with the TV is actually a real challenge now. Back when you just had the broadcast and the radio, it was easy. Lock them up nice and easy, but now it's tough.
Well, I think they do that also because they're trying to make sure you keep an audience in that genre, whatever it is.
Well, yeah, people on TV don't
want
you to turn the volume
TV.
Down. Right, exactly.
And I want to because if you turn the volume down on TV, you don't get to see my commercials. And I want you on the radio.
You see them, you don't hear them.
Exactly.
What else you got, Will?
What I did was when the referee called taunting on Odell Beckham, I matched up his voice with his mouth moving on the screen.
That's pretty good.
Very good. Well, I appreciate it, my friend.
That's talent.
Hey, thanks for listening. Thanks for calling in, and thanks for checking out the radio broadcast. We appreciate it.
All right, thanks, guys. You're cool.
Hey, take it easy.
How old do you think he is?
I would say Will, 14.
That's pretty impressive.
What do you think?
I think he's way more advanced than I am with the computer. So
that doesn't take a whole lot.
He could be 9 for all I know. It doesn't matter.
That is a low, low bar.
I'm sorry. Hey, look, if it's not World of Warcraft, I can't really do anything.
Yeah, no one is a king of playing the video games on the phone like Howard Cross.
That's right.
On the bus to and from the airport, by the
Deer
way.
Hunter,
he's all over
it. Awesome.
Let's go to Stetton in Illinois. Or is this Stetton? Stetton in Illinois. What's going on, Stet?
What's going on, John?
How are you?
Harry Crossman, how are you doing?
Oh, no, it's Howard Cross. Harry's a lot older than me.
Harris.
I'm just joking. Don't tell Harry I called him.
You aren't a captain, though, so.
I don't want to be captain.
I do want to say it's an honor to talk to you, one of the Giants' great tight ends. Oh, I bow to you.
Thank you.
John, you're gonna have to hear for a little 30 more seconds about how amazing he was.
Oh, okay, boy. I'm done. All right, go ahead. I'm going to take my headphones off. Go ahead.
That's terrible. Put your headphones back on, weirdo. He hated my athletes.
Other than that, I think yesterday's game was amazing, even though, you know, it was a brawl. I think that fight and feistiness that the Giants had, I wish it came out earlier in the season. You know, nobody getting ejected, but I think it was good that, you know, the Rams were going to come in and smack him in the mouth and Giants, you know, punch him back. And then the Rams were like, oh, what the heck is going on type of thing. So I think it was cool that the Giants, you know, punched him back in the mouth and told them that we're not going to take this one lying down. Yeah. You guys are not going to win at home type of thing.
They did a great job. I think, you know, beyond the fight, I think they coming out in the second half, that third quarter they played was pretty strong. They didn't back down. They didn't give up a lot of points. Fourth quarter, they ended the game strong, even though the Rams seemed to be gaining momentum offensively. The Giants kept scoring. It's like, okay,
yeah,
doesn't matter. You score, we'll score. We'll keep going no matter what happens. That's the impressive and the, you know, the thing that's promising for the team.
All right, now – even though the game was kind of, I guess you could say, yesterday, more of a later game, taking that type of passion and intensity, moving into next week's game, you think you can see that for the Eagles, even though they're not playing for much?
I think Chip Kelly needs a win. I don't think he wants to end the season with four losses.
Well, I'm sure Chip Kelly wants it, but the question is how motivated are the players going to be having that huge low of being knocked out of the playoffs after being the favorites to win the division all year? Are they going to have the inner fortitude to come out and play as good as they can? I think that's the question.
I'm going to say right now, if I don't know that much about Chip Kelly, but I can hear the speech. He's like, you know, we don't have a lot to play for right now. We don't have a lot going on. But let's say this. This is the last game of the season, and I will be evaluating the talent going forward. So at this last game, you better let your talent shine if you plan on being here next
Mark
year.
Mark Sanchez will be the starter, by the way.
Mark Sanchez won't be?
No, he will be. He will
the
be.
Starter?
Yeah, he'll be
in the
starter.
Game? Thank goodness. There are gods. I love you, Lord. That's what, I can't stand
wow, you are
Mark
not
Sanchez.
A nice person.
I can't stand
You're
mean,
not a nice
I think
guy.
Sanchez, like, by the way, nicest kid, you, one of the nicest guys you'll ever meet. I'm just not a quarterback fan of Sanchez. I don't think he does that well. I just don't. I said it out loud. If he puts it on tape, he can put my picture on his wall. I don't care. I've never been a big quarterback fan of Mark Sanchez.
I see, you're smart, though. I would be much more comfortable having Mark Sanchez mad at me than Marshawn Lynch. You're smart.
Oh, no, dude. I would never get Marshawn Lynch. He could run through your door of your house and come get you. Ah! It's going to be ugly, man.
Stetton, appreciate the call, all my right, friend. One, well, go ahead. What do you got?
Well, one more thing.
Yeah.
I wanted to know how you did on your fantasy, John. You know,
oh,
no. All your players, you know, and everything. You know,
Stetton,
we went from Carson, now we're going to John.
Stetton, I appreciate you asking that, and I didn't bring it up. But right now, thankfully, I was playing Andrew Luck, who got shut out by the Dallas Cowboys defense. Thank you, Rob Marinelli and company. I was playing the Arizona Cardinals defense, who got lit up by the Seahawks. Thank you, Pete Carroll and Russell Wilson and Marshawn Lynch. I appreciate it. You're my boy, Marshawn. You know that. So,
right now,
I am up 40 points. I have Demaryius Thomas going tonight, and he is A.J. Green. So unless A.J. Green doesn't absolutely lose his mind and Demaryius Thomas gets shut down, I should have my fantasy Super Bowl in the bag, and my brother is not happy about
it. Brotherly battles.
Well, dude,
here.
He had some bad luck. I mean, Andrew Luck, 0 points. Greg Olsen, who's been on fire, only had one catch for him. Mm-hmm. The Cardinals defense gave him nothing. He had some very, very bad luck yesterday. That is fantasy football. It's
That's a whole lot
of luck. And here's the thing. Stetton, thanks for the call. I appreciate it, man. All year, I'm riding the coattails of Calvin Johnson, Demaryius Thomas. Mm-hmm. You know who my leading scorer was yesterday in my fantasy Super Bowl? Jonathan Stewart.
Hey, man. Jimmy Stewart's like a Christmas. A wonderful
life. It's all
life.
Luck, man.
It was a wonderful
life. This stuff
life.
Is people, they're experts, this and that, all breaking the numbers down. It's, dude.
It was a wonderful life.
It's luck. Final call of the show, my man, Roldy in New York. I haven't heard from Roldy in a while. What's going on, bro?
What's going on, John? Nice to talk to you, Howard. How you doing?
I'm very good, Roldy, man. Very good.
And I do agree with you, Howard. Marshawn Lynch is a baller, man. Just let him be. Let him be a baller. Mm-hmm. But as far as yesterday's game, man, yo, listen, Odell Beckham is just a straight baller himself. I mean, no one can cover him. I know you were saying that in the pregame, you know, show yesterday, John, that, you know, this would be the game that the Rams would stop him. And I'm sitting in the car as I'm listening to you. I'm like, what is John talking about? I don't think anybody could cover this kid.
Yeah, Howard,
and
what we did.
It showed yesterday.
Yeah, but Howard, what we did in our over-under segment, the question once again was, would Odell Beckham have 100 yards? And I said, guys, it ends here. And I thought Jeff Fisher would put two or three guys over him.
He did.
Like in the first half, but then he stopped. In the first half, I was looking pretty smart, Howard.
Listen, you were looking smart until, you know, Ruben Randle kept catching the
ball.
It's like, okay, Ruben Randle for 40, Ruben Randle for 50. Okay, Ruben Randle, like, oh, man.
And
Ruben
that didn't
Randle.
Work out too well for me, though, did it?
You can't cover both guys.
No, you can't. Apparently not.
No. So, I mean, yesterday's game, I mean, you know, I know, everybody was saying that the Rams was going to talk a lot in Odell Beckham's head. We got to keep our cool. But the one thing that I love is that we didn't back down from anything. You know, it just showed that we are the New York Giants. It just said that it had to come, you know, week 16 to show that. And Preston Parker, man, I was impressed. I mean, if I have my own boy and something is happening to my own boy, I'm going right in and everything like that. And I love the grittiness that he showed that to back up his team. Even though he did get kicked out and everything, but for him to have his teammates back to me, he showed me that he's a soldier and he's a team player. And I love that. I loved it tremendously. As far as the overall game, the offensive line, they played really, really good. I mean, mainly, you know, Justin Pugh, Weston Richburg played a pretty good game. And besides the penalties, you take away those penalties from Beatty, I think he had a pretty solid game. And it was very happy to see and very encouraging to see, you know, how this offensive line, you know, played. The one question I do have for you guys, J.D. Walton had an okay game. I mean, is it fair to say that he's really not a good run blocker, you know, because there were some running plays that he was just getting tossed around. And I'm like, damn, man, He couldn't hold his own. So my question to you for the start of next year, is it time to start putting Weston Richburg at the center position? Because I think he did a pretty solid job against Aaron Donald. So, and that's all that I have. Thank you for taking my call. And it was nice talking to you, Howard. I appreciate the years you were with the Giants. I appreciate it.
Merry Christmas, Roldy.
Merry Christmas. Well, I tell you what, Aaron Donald is a guy that they put a lot of hype in and said what kind of player he was and how
he had
great.
8 sacks coming into the game.
He had 8 sacks coming into the game, but he's been in the midst of a great defensive line up until last week. A lot of speed, a lot of guys having to do it. He's caught a lot of one-on-ones, but he got to play against a group of guys that, you know, when they're running the ball right at you and everything, things change. As far as the center goes, I mean – it's a 50-50 thing. You don't know. Here's what's going to happen.
Now, Walton's not the biggest guy in the world, right?
That's where I was going to go with it. But here's what's going to happen. Let's say the Giants draft today. If they drafted today and a big-time offensive lineman is right there, they're taking him.
Well, here's my question for you. Now, I've got a couple questions on Twitter. I wanted to get this answer before the show ended. Right now, what do you think in the offseason, free agency, we'll see what happens. But right now, major thing the Giants, they need to improve in the offseason. What do you think it is?
First off,
is it O line? Is it D line? What do you think?
If it's me, what's going to happen is you're going to build the basis for your offensive line, and you're going to probably grab a guy, a tackle or a guard, or you're going to put a guy, one guy. If you get a tackle to play right tackle, that means Pugh can go inside and play guard. He may be a better guard than tackle.
We'll see.
Everyone thinks that he is. If you get a big time guard, then you can actually move Richburg to center if you really wanted to. There are a lot of things that you can do in that scenario. You know, I don't know exactly how they could do it, but you can get one big-time guy. If you get a big-time defensive player, I don't think you're going to be high enough in the draft to get a big-time pass rusher. I just don't think that you are, but who knows?
By the way, if everything goes right, I think the highest the Giants could be right now is 8. But that's only if they lose and everybody else wins. More than likely, they'll probably be somewhere in the early teens,
Middle
13, 14.
Early to middle teens, kind of where they were last year.
Yeah, around the same spot.
Kind of spot. So, there's a lot, Odell Beckham this year could have been Zach Martin. There are players, quality players at that spot that you can get in, and the kid that's at the Rams now we just spoke about. Also, he was like 13, 14.
Donald got picked the pick after the Giants.
Yeah, so you have these guys that are capable at 13, 14. You just got to make sure with all the study and all the background, all the searching, that you got that guy. And that's what they got to look at. I think that if there was a big-time like inside backer that they could get, not that I'm trying to – get rid of the inside backer we have now in Beeson. But if they had a big time guy that's like a can't miss kind of guy, maybe you take him. You know, that's what's going to happen with the team. You got a lot of guys in free agency that are going to be coming up this year. A lot of contracts are coming. You got to make some decisions. But if you're deciding, I know we're going to go best and brightest, biggest player at the time. You pick the guy that you think is going to have the biggest effect on your team. I know he might be the next guy in line to be picked, but you pick the guy who's got the biggest impact. And that's all in the rankings of the draft and the scouts.
Howard, Merry Christmas, my friend.
Merry Christmas.
Have a great holiday.
Same here.
Thanks for joining us today on the show. Tomorrow it'll be Jeff Fiegels and Lance Meadow, and they're going to have a special guest. Joe Ganascoli from The Sopranos will be coming out and join them at 12:30. So make sure you check in for that as well. Joe, he came out with these little things for, I think, their NFL drink sleeves.
Oh, yeah?
They're great stocking stuffers. So Joe will be on there promoting that tomorrow. He's a big Giant fan, too. He was down at training camp a couple times this year.
Good.
So you can check out Joe. He'll be on at 12:30 tomorrow on Big Blue Kickoff Live. For Howard, I'm John. Have a great holidays, everybody. We will catch you tomorrow. Lance and Jeff with you on Big Blue Kickoff. Have a great day.
Have a great day.
Well, here we go. Here we go. Come on, man. We need the work. Let's go.
Down the middle of the field, he's got through! 35, 30!